Hello, hello. Today I welcome someone who's actually dear to my heart. It was a spontaneous idea we had yesterday when updating each other via text message. The person I'm talking about is quite known in the web industry. He has spoken at many editions of Beyond Tolerant and countless other events, of course. But he's also a fellow event organizer. Good morning, Jeremy Keith.
Good morning, Mark. Very good to talk to you today.
How have you been?
Not too bad. I've had a bit of a cold, but that's par for the course in this weather. So yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Okay. Well, I yesterday when we chatted, I thought about like, when actually have we met last time? Because sometimes it is you meet like every other week and you think like, well, okay, I meet Jeremy in 2 weeks again, whatever. But then sometimes you don't meet for whatever ages, like a year or something. Have we met at all last year? I think in Brighton once, right? Was it last year or was it the year before actually already?
I think it might have been the year before. No, it was last year. It was last year. Research by the Sea? Were you of that?
Could be.
No?
No, I
was
haven't
it
been
FF
there,
Conf,
no?
Maybe, but FF Conf.
I think that was the year before.
Yeah, that was
2024.
Or was it at State of the Browser in London? Maybe State of the
Browser.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. We met there. See,
that's what
we met last year. At least once.
Yeah. At least, yeah.
Are you then attending or speaking at a lot of events these days?
No, to both, actually, funnily enough. It's funny because if you look on my my own website, I've got a page for, you know, my upcoming speaking and past speaking, and you can see how it's changed in the past few years. I used to be speaking at a lot more events, and these days I tend to be hosting the event but not speaking at the event, or sometimes other people get me to come and host, which I really enjoy. I really love that.
Occasionally
going to just attend an event, you know, some of the events that I love. Not as much as I used to.
Yeah, I bet people are surprised if they meet you at some event and you go like, well, I'm just attending. And they go like,
exactly.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I mean, talking about events, that is something we definitely have in common, like attending, speaking, but also organizing events, right? I mean, the first one I think I've ever seen you in the kind of organizer role was Deconstruct. And that must have been 2009 or 10, maybe. I don't remember really the year, but somewhere around then it must have been in Brighton. And I remember that it was the edition where everybody told me, you should have gone before when it was the web conference.
Yeah, it changed. So it's funny because Clear Left turned 20 years old last year in 2025, which is a really long time for an agency to just survive. But what I think is even more unusual is that we've been doing events that long as well. In other words, the first year we formed as an agency, it was just three people, was also the first year we put on our own event with, you know, not having
a
clue what we were doing. And that was Deconstruct. Yeah, the first event we did was in 2005. It wasn't quite the first, you know, web event in the UK because At Media had already happened that year. And this was maybe the second. And yeah, it was all very last minute. It was all, you know, by the skin of our teeth, just like figuring out what to do. It was a small event, just 100 people. But there was clearly an appetite. So that became an annual thing. And you're right, it's funny because to begin with, it was just like, just let's talk about whatever we can, you know, ask all our friends who could give a talk. And of course, there was a lot of web stuff, a lot of quite nerdy front end stuff, which is great. But then what happened was over the next year, like, so 2006, 7, 8, 9, more and more conferences started happening in the UK and kind of covering similar territory, which on the one hand, we're like, you know, that's what we were doing. But on the other hand, we thought it's an opportunity for us to maybe pivot, deconstruct a bit, and like, well, why don't we talk about the stuff that nobody else is talking about? And that's when it started to get a bit more cerebral, philosophical, and, you know, just like, come to deconstruct and you'll have an interesting time. You know, it's not the kind of thing your boss would send you to, but you definitely have an interesting time. And there was a year definitely where we didn't communicate that change, you know, to people. Mm-hmm. So people who had been coming and enjoying the technical stuff showed up one year and there wasn't much technical stuff. And it was all this, you know.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, since that was my first one, I pretty much enjoyed it. I mean, hence I run Beyond Terror, not because of Deconstruct, but like the idea of my intention of running events is like bridging the gap between disciplines and all that kind of stuff. But for me, it was quite nice. But funny enough, the feedback from the people at the event then to me was, oh, you should have been here when it was a web conference. So that was the days and stuff. But I thought like, well, it's actually quite nice to. So you were actually an early adopter of like these multidiscipline events and like thinking outside the box and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Deconstruct was definitely unusual at the time. Yeah, when it became that event. I mean, it has to be said then, you know, it was successful for a good few years, mm-hmm. but over time it became really hard to sell that proposition. You know, like you're not going to learn about tools.
Yeah, but do you think that was the reason? Was it like, or was it more like one of the first dips of events and conferences in general?
I think it was probably the subject matter. It's just hard to sell it. Particularly if you're going to try and convince your boss to send you to something, you know, it's pretty tough.
I know that problem, to be honest.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know exactly what I mean. Yeah. Because, you know, we started running other events that were more focused and were maybe an easier sell for your boss, right? But what's interesting is those events kind of all spun out of each other. So Deconstruct, there was a year where we did a heavy UX focus. And this was in the very early days of kind of UX. But we had people like Jared Spool and Peter Meerholtz and all these people. And that year, I can't remember what year it was, but that year was very successful. And people were like, yes, this is good. We like this. And we thought, well, we could just turn Deconstruct into a UX event. But actually, no, Deconstruct is its own thing. It's got this kind of weird, special vibe. Let's not change that. But why don't we start another event just for the UX stuff? And that's where UX London came from, was
almost running that long as well as already.
Yeah, UX London now is 16 or 17 years, I want to say.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I thought it was younger.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed. It's morphed over time. But in some form or another, it's been running that long. So that kind of came out of Deconstruct. And then... Mm-hmm. Another event came out of that. So what happened was a few years into UX London, we'd be at the event, we're chatting to the attendees, and we noticed this pattern, which is like the amount of people who were saying to us, help, I've been promoted. Like, I'm a designer, but I've been promoted to be like a manager. I'm supposed to be leading a team of designers. And I have no idea what I'm doing. And we thought, okay, well, again, we could change UX London to focus on, you know, design leadership. We thought, no, let's spin out another event. And so that's where Leading Design came from. So it's like Leading Design came from UX London, which came from Deconstruct. Like they all kind of came out of one another, splintered off from one another.
Yeah. And then Deconstruct slowly faded away.
Because that's always been the hardest to sell. Yeah. It's a shame. I miss Deconstruct and I know people who miss it, but. Yeah, just trying to sell tickets for an event like that is hard.
Yeah, I know, especially these days for many reasons. I've always enjoyed like coming to Brighton in general because there were like a lot of good events happening there. FFCon from Remy back in the days, also for Flash people, Flash on the Beach from John. So it felt always like a very place to be, Brighton, as the kind of hot area for like creatives, for web people. Is that still the case, actually? I don't know. Did it change?
I think it is, but not, maybe it doesn't have quite, or the community has changed. The community has always changed and evolved, and that's fine. I mean, what you're talking about, I remember very fondly as well, where we actually ended up forming this Brighton Digital Festival. That, and really all that was just putting a label on something that was happening already. Because like you say, you know, first week of September, there'd be Deconstruct, there'd be Reasons to be Creative, which was what Flash on the Beach was changed into. There'll be these other events happening. And a bunch of us just sort of got together and went, well, let's just put it all under one umbrella. Then it's a really easy story to tell to journalists and stuff. And that's where this Brighton Digital Festival came from. And that was great. And that went along, that kind of became its own thing for many years. And that's faded away. And, you know, some of those events don't happen anymore. Deconstruct doesn't happen. Reason to be Creative doesn't happen. Yeah. But, I mean, other things do happen. You know, FFConf is still running, and that's a great community event. You know, that's got a great vibe to it. It feels, in some ways, quite similar to Beyond Teleran to me, in that, you know, you've got this singular vision behind who's running it and what they want out of it. And it is more about the community being in the room. And there's meetups. There's definitely meetups still happening, you know, in the UX scene here. But it's a different sort of community than it was then. And that's okay. It's funny in Brighton, because I'm sure there's actually a lot of communities I don't even know about. Like, Brighton is actually a really big hub for the games industry, but I don't know anything about the games industry. Like, there's all these games companies based in Brighton. Yeah. So I'm sure they've got like conferences and meetups and events, but it's kind of just hidden from me because it's not my scene, I guess. So yeah, things always change. Brighton is still definitely a good place to be a nerd, I think, you know, if whether that's in the games or the web or whatever, it's still got that vibe. But yeah, I'd probably have to seek out more of those meetups and stuff than I used to, where it used to be I seem to just bump into people walking down the street all the time, you know.
Yeah, it felt like it. Like, anytime I was there, it was like, oh, like everybody who you knew from the internet, like, you know, was there for some reason. Felt a bit like as well with back then when Brooklyn Beta was still running. Felt the same, right? Like all the web people like in Brooklyn at the one place. I think it was you who sat on stage, or like maybe just to me, I don't remember. But you said something like, if a bomb drops, the internet people are gone. Like, everybody's gone, actually. So we'll be erased immediately.
Yeah,
it was good times, right? I'm how do you say in English? Ich ziehe meinen Hut. I'm taking my hair. I'm raising my head. Do you say that?
Because
in front of people like Remy Sharp, for example, who's still, or Julie Sharp, I mean, they run it together. FFConf or like Dave, State of the Browser, they still continue to run their community driven events, like, but an independent event, right? And I know how hard it is these days. And I've seen you like doing similar things as well, mostly, as you mentioned, targeting specific topics like Patterns Day, for example, or Responsive Day Out, these kind of things. And if you think about all these events and running them, looking back, oftentimes, for me at least, the kind of like good feeling about how it all worked out and stuff is what I remember. But on the lead up, obviously, it's a lot of pain and there's a lot of work and a lot of stuff and a lot of communication. So when it comes to organizing and running those events, what is it, what drives you, like, personally? Why are you always doing this?
Well, first of all, I would distinguish between those kind of events you're talking about, like Patterns Day, Responsive Day Out. These were like, I've mentioned so far things like Deconstruct, UX London and Leading Design. And those are kind of the bigger ones, especially UX London and Leading Design. They happen in London. They're, you know, it's expensive to run them just because it's in London, but also other reasons too. They're catered events, stuff like that. So the feeling for those events is obviously a lot of excitement about putting them on, but also, there's a lot of apprehension because of the risk. So they're very high reward, but they're also high risk events. And the one day events in Brighton, I almost see as a bit like a safety valve for those events, almost like a way to have an event that's probably going to be low reward. I mean, financially speaking, it's definitely low reward, but also low risk. Like, if this event turns out to be a disaster, it's not the end of Clear Left, right? It's like, it's not the end of the world. We hope it'll be a success. But honestly, the reasons we put on those one day, you know, smaller events isn't primarily financial. It's more about one of us at Clear Left have got like a real you know, interest, passion, an overused word, I know, for one particular thing. Like, you know, Rich is so into his typography. So he was in charge of the Ampersand Conference, which was in that mold
of another one day,
you know, it's in the Duke of York's in Brighton and, you know, small event, super niche audience. It's never going to make tons of money. No, that's not the point. It's like I said, get all these people together in one space. You know, yeah, if a bomb dropped, the typography world would be devastated, you know. And so those events to me, they actually feel lighter on, you know, weighing on my mind, because even the worst case scenario, which, you know, if nobody comes at all, we'll make a loss, but it won't be a loss compared to like if UX London was a disaster or Feeding Design was a disaster. Those ones, because we invest so heavily in them, we have to, because they're expensive to run. The risks are bigger. So those one day events have always felt a bit lighter to me. And I try to communicate that too. Like I try to let people know ahead of time, like, don't expect anything too slick, you know? Like even when people are showing up, I remember we did a responsive day out. And that was definitely a feeling like we just need to all get in the same room together and realize that everyone is struggling with responsive design. This is back in like 2011. You know, no one's got this figured out. Let's make sure everyone gets that message. It's okay. And I wanted to make sure that it felt like, yeah, this isn't going to be a polished event like, you know, UX London or even Deconstruct. So we didn't even have badges. Like, you showed up and I gave you a sticker.
I remember.
Just, you know, a clear left sticker. It's like that kind of communicated, I think, like, yeah, this is the level we're talking at. And every
How do you make sure that this is communicated upfront so that people won't mix up if they have been to UX London and they see clear left?
Yeah.
Well, and they maybe have the feeling that, oh, well, I've been to UX London. Certainly that will be a great event.
Yeah. I mean, I just would be straight up saying it usually in my own blog posts on my own blog. And any mail outs that went out, yeah, I'd try to get that across. Like, hey, it's going to be this, you know, spit and sawdust kind of community event. That's why the ticket price is pretty low. That's why you got to go get your own lunch, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, now we were talking about like the financial risks and like the kind of differences between those things. But personally for you, I mean, does it need another responsive day out? And why do you come up with those events? I mean, it's a lot of work, right? So you could say, like, don't make any money with it. I'd like to meet people. Well, I could attend other events. Why the heck are you running those events?
Usually because I smell something in the air. Like responsive design was a good one. Like, we were at Clear Left in our day jobs, we were doing responsive design quite a long bit before other agencies were doing it as standard. We were kind of beating the drum and saying, everyone should be doing this. It's great. And we thought, you know, let's run an event because, yeah, we care about this. Same at Rich and the Ampersand Conference. You know, it's like, there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in web typography now. More people should know. Let's get together and just be excited together. So, all right, run an event. The design system stuff that I felt, you know, there was something in the air again. I thought, oh, well, let's have an event. And there were other events like Clarity was happening in the States. It was like, oh, I wish I could be in the States to go to that. But let's have our own design systems. When I wrote to Gina actually and said, listen, I'm thinking of putting on an event, but I want to get your blessing first, because I think like you are the person who's done the design systems event thing. And she's like, yeah, you should do it and you should get me to come over. And it's like, all right, come on over.
Clever.
So it's always because something's happening and I feel like, ooh, there's something here and I want to get people in a room together and almost acknowledge it. And also, particularly with stuff with the responsive design and with the design system stuff, there was almost an element of therapy to it. I say, like, let's... Being in a room with other people struggling with the same topic as you're struggling with is very cathartic. And we're like, I'm not alone. It's okay. Like, no one's got this figured out. Because when you're sitting in front of the computer and you see, you know, somebody's just launched their beautiful design system, you can think, oh man, they've got it all figured out. And we're struggling with our design system. And it's like, you know what? I know for a fact, if you got together in the same room, you'd find you had all the same struggles and all the same problems. So there's an element of that.
Exactly.
There's an element of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like this as well. When I look back at an event, like quite recent after running it, and see this, that people recognize, oh, those people, on stage are not special. They just talk about the stuff, but they actually don't know much more than I do. So, you know, this kind of stuff. So, and also, the other way around, to like get exposed to new things where you thought like I would never ever touch a subject like X, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, it's actually quite interesting. I might have a look into it. Like, it's, you know, I like this kind of stuff that people through the real life contact with a person, a subject or something, how that is totally different than getting watching a YouTube video or reading a blog post or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's kind of active real life interaction is so important, and I wish that this actually would be something that people giving the money for someone to buy a ticket would understand, right? The bosses, how much value that kind of stuff has got, like motivation, inspiration, like open mind for like the people working for you, right? That they get, like, that they are not afraid of trying something new, being creative with stuff, right? So, but how do you actually sell this? How do you make this a selling point other than telling someone they learn, you know, like they XYZ framework, something, the new hot shit, AI, whatever.
Yeah, it's tough. And something I've always loved about Beyond Telerand, and I would say an event apart as well is another one that does this, is there's design stuff, there's development stuff. I mean, with Beyond Telerand, it could be any kind of stuff, art. But even taking just design and development, there aren't separate tracks. There isn't a design day, a development day. It's like you get one talk about, you know, some browser technology immediately followed by somebody nerding out about fonts or something. And all the designers listen to the developer talks and all the developers listen to the designer talks. And I completely agree. That's where you discover you have an interest in something you didn't think you had an interest in.
Yeah.
And I wish there were more like that. And I remember being at events where they split things into separate tracks, and they had a design track.
A design and developing track. Yeah, no, I hated those.
I remember literally standing outside the two doors because there was somebody really good in both. Yeah. And I was interested in both. And it's like, why are you making me choose? It's like, if you're making me choose, you're making me, an attendee, curate my own event. We're like, that's your job. You know, you should be curating this for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hear you. Definitely hear you. So if you think about like what we just briefly touched, the difficulties these days, what would you think as an event organizer or like producer or however you call the job? What's the difficulties? What's the issues that you run into? I mean, not just these days. I know like these days is specifically difficult today, but in general, what is it? Where you think like that's always something that's the hardest for me?
I've got some specific things that are unique to the kind of event I'm doing in the case of UX London, which is the fact that it's talks and workshops and not a separate workshop day. Sorry about my throat. I'm recovering from a cold.
No, all good.
But we have talks in the morning and workshops in the afternoon, which is great, you know. But finding a venue that can accommodate that, you can find a venue in London to have talks. You can find a venue in London to have workshops. Finding a venue where you can have both. And then trying to find a venue where you can have both and not compromise on the vibe you want, right? The kind of the atmosphere and everything. So that's a particular, I would say, more unique one for that specific event. Then in general, if you are going to have an event in London, there's just the sheer cost. I mean, that's just London. I'm sure it's not just events. Anything in London is just really expensive. The universal one, I think, sponsors is tricky. Again, this goes back to what we were just talking about the how how specific or not your conference is. Like if the conference is about one topic, then yes, you can probably find a sponsor who's perfect because they're in that one topic. But it's a narrow range of sponsors. If your conference is more broad, if it's more like Deconstruct Beyond Telerand, it's going to be harder to find a sponsor because, you know, what's on stage isn't exactly like what the sponsor does. So it's a tougher sell. And that's something that's definitely gotten trickier in recent years, I think. And that's just because of budgets being tightened. See also ticket sales, right? It's all what you were just saying about, bosses sending people to conferences, bosses deciding whether or not to sponsor a conference. They're kind of related. They're kind of in the same budgets, I think. And then an interesting one I've noticed, I think since COVID, is how people leave it till the last minute now to buy their tickets. And I thought it was just me until I started talking to other events organizers like yourself, talking to Remy, talking to Dave, you know, State of the Browser. And it seems to be a fairly universal thing. In fact, I was back in Ireland and I was talking to someone who works at a theater. So nothing to do with the web, like an actual theater. And I thought I'd ask her as well. And she's saying, oh yeah, since COVID, people don't plan ahead as much, it seems. And
it's strange, isn't it? Wait, I mean, like, why? It's really strange. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like something's changed there. But if you ask me about the why,
I don't know either.
Can I tell you?
Just a behavior change. Yeah. So that's nerve wracking. And I know that some conferences just decided to fold because obviously with some events, there's probably a go no go date by which. Okay, it's time to slap down the money for the venue, and then you're committed. Yep. And if you haven't sold enough tickets by that point, you could say, no, let's call it off. And there have been a few events in 2025 and 2024 that just cancelled, probably at that point.
And I mean, if I wouldn't trust my loyal community to come back, like, and know that tickets in the end gonna sell, well, I mean, honestly, I'm sitting here sweating like hell. Like, honestly, going like, oh, look at the ticket sales and compare it to past years, right? So, but now that the pandemic is over for like how many years now? 4 years, 3 years? You slowly get used to it, but it doesn't make it easier. Like, it makes it as difficult as the year before. Especially if you like, I mean, I have high costs for the venue and all that kind of stuff, and if both of that happens, lower ticket sales and no sponsors, you can do the math, right? Yeah.
I'll tell you a kind of funny story is that, it's not funny really, it's stressful for Remy. I was with Remy going up on the train to State of the Browser, I think it was 2024. Mm-hmm. When it was State of the Browser was happening in September, FFConf was coming up in November. So it wasn't that far away to FFConf. And Remy was stressed. Because of the ticket sales, they weren't going that great.
I remember,
And I was saying to him, you know what? Because I just finished with UX London that year, and we had seen this, you know, no ticket sales, sudden ticket sales in the last few weeks before the event. And I said, I think you're going to be all right, because this happened to us with UX London, where I was really stressing out it was going to be a disaster. And then actually it went fine in the end, people bought the tickets. So I was trying to talk him down. And then we showed up at State of the Browser and we go into the room and Dave is there hosting and Dave gets on stage. I think the first thing that Dave said was, welcome everybody to State of the Browser. Why did you wait till the last minute to get your tickets? I was literally able to like catch Remy's eye and go like, see, it's not just you. It's not just you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think another issue I would certainly mention, at least for me, like running a yearly conference year by year and seeing my audience age with me is how and where to find new audience, a specifically younger audience again. How do you talk to them these days? I mean, it's difficult enough to speak to your own audience that you already have and established over the years. I mean, I run it for 15 years Beyond Telerand, right? So, yes, there are the people that know it already and those even sometimes over social media don't see it anymore if I write something. I think social media is dead. I mean, not talking about Twitter, but the problem really is that you have to cater each of the individual platforms differently. And as a single person like me, that's a task I honestly could spend 24 hours on to like target the algorithms I need to so that my stuff gets seen, right? So you have got 1,000 followers here, 1,000 there, and then just a fraction of that sees what you're writing and gets the announcements and all that kind of stuff. I think right now my newsletter works best for those who know the event, but where do the younger, newer people get notice of it? Well, maybe the younger people don't care actually, right? They you know, not going to events anymore. But I have to say, those of the younger people who come to my event, they always go like, well, that's fantastic. And I've never been at an event before. And now that I have been, I definitely come back and explore other options as well. And so like, very good. But where do you think, I mean, you don't have the solution, I guess, but what could be the solution to target the younger people again? But because I'm not a TikTok person and I won't be, never. So,
yeah.
And if I would try it, it wouldn't be authentic, right? So,
yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying about those different places, different platforms for different people and like for different events too, I would say, you know, when we're doing UX London, LinkedIn is the place for us to be telling people about UX London because it is for, you know, working professionals. So, all right, UX designers, they're almost certainly on LinkedIn. It makes sense. Social media platforms like Blue Sky, Mastodon, places like that aren't really important for something like UX London. Mm-hmm. Something like the new event I've got coming up, Web Day Out, which is focused on front-end development. I feel like LinkedIn is not that useful at all because, it's not really the place
to hang out.
Who wants
to have fun, right?
Exactly. So, Blue Sky, Mastodon, to a certain extent, feels like a bit like the community is there. But I kind of rely on my own personal blog for that community. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely going to be more of the, how do I tactfully put this, developers of a certain age who will be reading my blog. As you say, what about younger developers? Where are they? Do they even read blogs? Probably not. And that's okay.
Crazy, isn't it?
How to reach them? I really don't know. Just keep shouting about the event in the hope that that they see it. I guess there's, you know, online communities out there that I need to tap into, as they say. But it's not something I'm particularly good at, I have to say. And I do think, if they were to come to something like Web Day Out, they'd get a lot out of it. You're saying, how do you get them to make that first step, to come for the first one? And then to get that taste of it and realize, this is going to events is good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I need to find out. And I'm going to tell you. fun anecdote here is, I think 24 in Düsseldorf, a lady chased me on the first day. So I'm like, hello, Mark, can I? And it was like, I was just in the beginning of doing everything. First two talks were, it's like, can we talk later? Try later. And so she tried 3 or 4 times. And then finally in the evening, I was like, okay, now we can talk. She's like, I actually just wanted to say how great it is. I'm here for the first time. It's fantastic. And she, and I was like, oh, well, thank you so much. And then I asked my question that I always ask, like, where did you hear about it? Mm. She said, and she then said, my mom told me to go. And I was like, oh. I instantly felt very old, but
I can beat that. I can beat that.
Come on.
Separate from conferences. You play in a band. I play in a band. I don't know what it's like where you are, but finding drummers can be the hardest part. A couple of years back, we needed a new drummer. Our drummer Emily had left the band, and there was this one guy who came along to try out with us. And he was brilliant. His name was Matthew. And playing the songs, it was clear he knew the songs. Like, how does he know our music? So we're saying to him, like, this is great. You should be in the band. Yeah, join the band. But got asked, how do you know the music of Salter Kane? And he said, well, my parents are really into it. And then we felt suddenly so old. So.
Yeah, same for me. I felt very old when she said that. On the other hand, I said, like, well, that's an interesting one, actually, right? So if that happens, if they pass on that, A, it means the world, right? If your mom tells you to go to an event or join a band or whatever, it's fantastic. And I thought to myself, okay, how often is that actually the case? And I asked a few people, and actually there were quite some people in the audience where now there are bosses who came when they were younger and not in the position of in which they are now, they sending them to the events, which is fantastic. And I wish more people would do this, to be honest.
Cool.
But before we just like lose ourselves in nostalgic conversations about events and all this kind of shit, we were talking about the one-day events you run. And obviously, and we briefly touched it, you run a new one pretty soon. I think in March 12th. Was it March 12th?
Yeah, March 12th, Web Day Out. It's webdayout.com. And it's a classic one in the mold of Responsive Day Out, Patterns Day, Ampersand. It's one day, boom, 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 cheap and cheerful kind of event. 8 talks, yep. You know, nice and fast, 30-minute talks. And it definitely came out of that feeling of me sensing, oh, I feel like there's something in the air. There's something happening, and I want to get people in a room and share the excitement. And in this case, it's about what you can do in web browsers. And I feel like, it, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, you know, whether it's in CSS, stuff happening in HTML with the Open UI group, stuff happening in JavaScript, obviously. There's just so much stuff. Like, I tell you what, an event I go to every year, no matter what, is CSS Day. And it's all about CSS. And you will have noticed that CSS Day, the last couple of years, like, wow, it's like the fire hose got turned on in terms of here's what's new in CSS. It was like, wow, it's a lot. And I feel like that fire hose has now been blasting for long enough that the stuff is well supported in web browsers. There's all this new stuff you can do. Are people actually doing it? So I thought, okay, I won't do an event where it's like, hey, here's the new cutting edge stuff that just launched in, you know, one browser last week. No, I'm actually going to do it about stuff that's new, relatively speaking, but it's well supported and you could be using it, you know, when you go back into work on Monday morning. In fact, you probably should be using it. So that's part of my gut feeling. And also, it feels to me front-end development got very, very, very reliant on frameworks over the last 10, 15 years.
Absolutely.
React is the obvious one. And, you know, sometimes for very practical reasons, like, do you want a job in front-end development? Okay, you do a boot camp, you learn React, and you get your job doing React. You're a React developer more than a front-end developer. And that was fine for a while, but now there's so much stuff that people aren't using because they just use their framework and they're kind of leaving this stuff to the side. And it's really exciting stuff. And it's stuff that you could be, maybe you don't need a framework to do a lot of the stuff you're using a framework for. So that's kind of the other side of the agenda is like, I'm going to do a day of talks about stuff you can use right now that's shipping in browsers and doesn't need a framework or a library. In fact, maybe you don't need to be using frameworks and libraries, full stop. So that's kind of the vibe of it. It's not an easy to summarize kind of one line pitch in the same way that like responsive design or design systems is.
Yeah. But again, sounds interesting. And having been at Patterns Day and especially a Responsive Day Out, is it kind of the same format like what you did there, like 3 talks and then sit down with the people? And because I really enjoyed that. I said that to you in earlier as well.
Yeah, no, that was kinda so like... Responsive Day Out. We did that format, which I stole from an arts event that was happening during the Brighton Digital Festival.
Okay.
It's called Improving Reality. And they had, 3 quick talks, 3 20-minute talks back to back, and then get those 3 people up onto the sofa and talk to them. And I thought, oh, that's really good. So yeah, we did that for Responsive Day Out. Most years, I think, and that was good. For Patterns Day, we went back to this kind of just like, let's not have the interview part and we'll make the talks 30 minutes. So still fast, still, back-to-back talks quickly. So 8 talks in one day, which is quite a lot.
Quite a lot already. Also, something actually talking about the younger people that someone mentioned last year to me after the event. I've 12 talks over the 2 days, right? So it's six each day and always half an hour break between each of the talk at least. And that person came to me afterwards, they're like, brilliant event. You know, 12 talks are a lot. And I was like,
oh, over 2 days?
Really? Yes. So he thought it was a lot, like all the stuff to remember and all, like to consume and stuff. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, maybe that's also something we need to take into consideration targeting younger people, the attention span they have got, right? Like, and remembering things.
Oh, not just younger people. My attention span is really short as well. So I don't think Beyond Telerand has too many talks. I always say to PBK at CSS Day every year that it's one talk too many for me because, because the talks are so dense, you know, and rich in information. By the time of the last talk, I'm finding it hard to pay attention because it's like, oh, my brain just can't handle it. So I always say to them, like, oh, just take one talk off the... But what I always loved at Beyond Telerand was that you did have a break that was, correct me if I'm wrong, about the same length as the talk.
Always
a talk and then a break. Yeah, and I think that's really good because it really emphasizes then that it's not just about the talks. You know, like happens in the break is just as important for an event like Beyond Telerand.
I think from my own standpoint, I have to say, like, I need to digest the talk before I am able to then sit down for the next one, right? So, like, for me, it's like, okay, that's what I've seen, what I've heard. So now I need a coffee and have a coffee and a conversation about something else to then, okay, now I'm prepared for the next one. But everybody's different, right? And certainly you cannot like cater everybody's tastes. But that's how I do it. I really like the format you did at Responsive Day Out with the three short ones. And then you, as I said to you earlier, also are a brilliant moderator of like panels, I think. So that was quite nice to have like this kind of like snappy, short conversation amongst the three people that just spoke and you with your questions to their talks. That was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, that was a fun format, right? I liked it.
I have the website open here next to us for those who actually watch our conversation and not just listen to it. It's the website. It's Brighton, 12th March. I can see the ticket price here. Tickets are obviously still left. Otherwise, we wouldn't talk about that. And getting tickets is £225. So that's a
good
thing.
If you put the word BTConf into the discount code slot, then you'll get a little bit knocked off that price.
So if you have listened up until here, that's your benefit. Cool.
And also we're partnering up with Dave with State of the Browser.
I've seen that.
So that like if you buy a ticket for Web Day Out, you'll get a big discount off a State of the Browser ticket, or even get a free online attendance for State of the Browser. But the other way around too, if you buy a ticket for State of the Browser, you get a big discount off Web Day Out.
I
really like that we're doing
like
that. I really like that, you know, it's we're not competing, you know, we're clearly,
I mean, when
after the same
in the early
here.
Days of running Flash Forum conference, which then at some point turned into kind of Beyond Telerand. That was the thing I ran before Beyond Telerand. I always thought like, how could we establish something like a European conference pass and like, gather a couple of conference together to then sell that to companies that oftentimes have dependencies in different cities, right? So they could use it to then pass it over to other attendees and say like, okay, we pay whatever, like €2,000 for a year pass, but we could then attend this and this and this and that and this. And it's, you know, a handful of events. A few factors that made it difficult, obviously, were how would you split the fee amongst the events? Is it attendees? Yeah. Is it, you know, so an event in Poland doesn't need or can't even charge as a lot as someone in Düsseldorf or Berlin or London, right? Because they don't need to, maybe it's cheaper to put it up. So what's the key to split the money then, right? Maybe one day. But I had ideas like this running through my head, and I wish it would be easier to make stuff like this happen, because I like the idea of sharing like event passes or like promoting each other. I mean, the one
year. Oh, yeah. I mean, at the very least, yeah, you know, just standing on stage at the end of your event and saying,
oh, yeah,
by the way, you know, there's these other events happening that if you like this, I think you'll also like these other events.
And yeah,
it's so great to see that at Beyond Telerand, at State of the Browser, at FFConf. It's just really nice. It's really lovely.
Yeah. I remember the one year when I did that, and I thought before the event, I give everybody some stage time, right? And then I've read all the names and went like, oh, that's like close to 30 events. If I give everybody 30 seconds, no, that's a full speaking slot. I can't do that, right? So I then just listed all the names and made people stand up in the audience and said, like, these are all people running events, actually, and you should go and speak to them. So yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Long gone days, because these times I think it might be a handful of people, maybe 10 in the audience that run events themselves. Crazy. I hope it comes back. That said, I'd say like join me for a web day out in Brighton. I'm gonna be there definitely. I bring my camera.
I was just gonna say, and please bring your camera, take some photographs.
Yes, I will. I will, and. Thanks for dropping in, Jeremy, spontaneously and chatting about events and a bit about your new event, Web Day Out, March 12th in Brighton. Cool. Thank you, Jeremy.
My pleasure. Good talk to you, Mark.
All the people, all the people, all the people, all the people, all the people.